Welcome to part two of a very special episode with Major Vivek Jacob. Part one was about his tenure with the Indian Special Forces. He's now an Indian Army veteran. And at this stage of his life, he has different challenges. After leaving the Indian Army, Major Vivek Jacob founded CLAW, which stands for Conquer Land, Air, Water. CLAW itself has many objectives, but one of its primary objectives is to bring disabled people and the concept of disability to the forefront in worldwide society. Often people look at people with disabilities and think that they're probably not capable of doing certain actions, of doing certain things in life. But CLAW is trying to rewrite that perception. As part of the Conquer Water aspect of CLAW, Team CLAW helps disabled people learn scuba diving and equips them enough to take up scuba diving as a profession. Similarly, Conquer Air and Conquer Land are the two big missions for CLAW, which are next up. Major Jacob is also responsible for something called Operation Blue Freedom. What it is will be explained to you by him through the course of this episode. Team CLAW, as a part of Operation Blue Freedom, has launched a nationwide search for people with disabilities who are interested in being part of the Siachen Glacier Expedition. Operation Blue Freedom is about breaking a world record and having this mission come to the forefront. Team CLAW is on the lookout for people who want to join their mission and be a part of Operation Blue Freedom. We'll be attaching associated links down below. So if you're someone who's dealing with disabilities, or if you're someone who knows someone who's dealing with disabilities, please tell them about Operation Blue Freedom. Tell them about everything that Team CLAW is up to. And for now, let's enjoy part two of the episode with Major Vivek Jacob on The Ranveer Show. This one is as heavy, if not heavier, than the previous one. Check out both parts. Enjoy both parts. This was one of my favorite conversations that I've ever had in my life. I've got to take you to the next chapter of your story. At the beginning of this podcast, we spoke about the three versions of you. And I think in this one, we've only covered the first version, or that transition from the first to the second. If people type your name online, what keeps coming up is this incident of a spine injury. Firstly, how did it happen? Could you just take us through that injury? And I feel also every human being has that one key moment where the innings switches.
Like, I had like the spinal injury, got it checked and all, my discs had prolapsed. And basically compressed and the discs had come out.
It's like jam between a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah, yes, exactly. So like that had come out and it had gone into the nerves and all that and blah, blah, blah. So then I went
this
through...
This was from the impact?
From the opening shock.
Okay.
And the impact. So it's like, it opens up like a blast, because it has to open up very fast and you're falling like a rock. So suddenly there's a break. So that break got transferred onto my spine. What changed me, what changed me from the special forces to where I am right now is post this incident where I told you where the guy lost his leg. And that's where I started thinking that the time has come to evolve. But I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what else to do. Like, my wife at that time, she used to tell me that, Jacob, you know, you will not be able to do anything else in your life. You're fantastic at only one thing, and that is what you're doing already. Don't leave it. If you leave this, there is nothing else that you can do, because you are built for this. So I said no. And everything was dependent on that. Everything, me staying, everything was, like, the entire, you know, Maya of this universe was telling me that you have to be there. But my heart was telling me no. So because you have gone through life and death so many times, you understand that it's all unreal. You know, you can create whatever you want. So I said, no, I'll go out naked and fucking, you know, stitch my own clothes and I'll fucking recreate my life the way I want to experience it. Because this I'm done with, right? I had reached the pinnacle of destroying stuff. So beyond that is creation, no? So I was thinking what to do. I was writing with my pencil and paper. I used to write, what all do I know? Okay, I know some skydiving. I know some underwater diving. I know some trekking, some mountaineering, something. What do I want to do? I want to fly a plane. I want to learn how to fly a plane. All these things I wrote. Simple. At what, 36, 35, 36 years of age, I was there at that point of time. As I'm 41 now, so that time ago, six years ago. Yeah. So I wrote it. And I was getting further treated for my spine injury, and I had some other places where I got hurt and all of that. And like my knee got operated and blah, blah, blah. And I was in hospital and I met this guy, this Air Force guy who was more or less chest down, paralyzed. He had regained some movement and he had 8 years of service. He was in my neighboring room. So I used to get to hear his conversations with his family and things like that. He was just my neighbor. So I was exploring, what do I want to do now? What do I want to do now? And one day, 2 weeks later, he used to look at me and he had some talk with some other people about me and this. And one day he came to me on his wheelchair and he asked me, sir, you are a commando? I said, yes. He said, sir, you must be doing all this underwater diving and all that. I said, yes. He said, sir, can a guy like me also do it? So I looked at him and I don't know. So I said, I don't know, but I'll find out. So I went back, left him there only and started researching, paralyzed people scuba diving. And this was back in 2015. And I found this video of a lady, a British lady. She was waist down, paralyzed, and she was underwater. And she was on a wheelchair and she had her cylinders strapped onto the wheelchair. And she had like motors. And she had like a plastic kind of a wing to give her direction and, movement. And she was breathing and she was in a dress and she was doing ballet underwater. She was like this and like that. She was doing ballet. So I saw that and I went and showed him. And I said, see, it's possible. Yeah, it's possible. The way he looked at it and he said, sir, how will I do this, sir? How will I do this? So I just told him, yeah, you don't worry about it. I promise you, I'll fucking take you scuba diving one day. I just told him like that. And just left it like that. And when I went back to my room from there and I started calculating what it takes to make this one man bloody scuba dive. So logically penetrating it. So that's like a special forces thing, like a mindset. It doesn't matter whether you are from special forces or not, or whether you have killed somebody or not, or all doesn't matter. All this doesn't matter. What it matters is that you know that if you put your bloody mind to it, you can create what the hell ever you want. Right, so I said, okay, yeah, isko to scuba diving, we'll get him to bloody scuba dive. So I started calculating, and I realized that there must be so many people. Like I was doing research of how many people with disabilities are there in the world, and like I was shocked at the numbers. And I thought, this guy wants to do scuba diving. There must be somebody who wants to do mountaineering. Somebody wants to do skydiving. Somebody wants to do So if the human mind wants to do it, fucking, you can do it. Yeah, you just have to think your way through it. That's why you have a brain. Right, to calculate. So the heart has to decide, no, yes or no. Once the heart decides yes, your brain will calculate. There is always an outcome. The universe is limitless. So that means limitless possibilities. So you just have to think your way through to the possibility that you want to create, want it to manifest. So like that, it kept growing. I thought there must be so many people like him, and there must be so many people like me who want to help people like that. Just, just brotherhood, yeah. So I thought of a network, that if we create this network where people like come together and help each other out, right, to do stuff like this. And then I realized it even bigger. Then I realized, I have to be able to create value for everyone so that everyone invests in this. Because, everyone is suffering from something or the other. Yeah, maybe physically, maybe emotionally, maybe psychologically. Everyone has a problem, man. All people who are alive and living have got some fucking problem, right? So if people get together and, I got a different problem, you got a different problem, but we are all headed in the same direction. So if we just kind of get together and we share what we have, we can all evolve. Evolution will become faster. So from that guy, just that one promise that I wanted to just do that, it started like that.
Today we have Operation Blue Freedom by Claw.
Yeah.
So what is that? Like, this is sort of, I would look at it from an outside perspective as your second innings. And to give the listeners some context, I've actually spent the last 2 days with the team at Claw, kind of training a little bit in scuba diving. I dived with people with disabilities. learned leadership, learned efficiency, got to know Major Jacob, Major Arun. But so what is this like from your lens? What's happening from your perspective?
Evolution.
What do you mean?
See, it's just, again, my perspective, from my understanding, my limited whatever, but this is what makes sense to me, right? If you look at your world around yourself, you know, there is chaos happening. There are good things happening and there is chaos happening. So life is vibrating between these two possibilities of chaos or bliss or order, if whatever you want to call it. Let's not call it order. Let's call it, you know, bliss and the lack of bliss, right? So this is what is happening. This is what we are experiencing. And if you had a choice, wouldn't you want to experience bliss forever? Logically speaking, right? So what I realized is that in the entirety of it, even through the journey of Operation Blue Freedom, what I realized is that for me to experience bliss forever, I have to be able to ensure that for everyone else. Because ultimately, all of us are one only. We are all various expressions of the God consciousness or whatever you want to call it, but of a singularity. We are all endless, limitless expressions of that one singularity. That's how it is. That is the truth, like nothing less. So, by the time I started meditating and some stuff and all, and I started experiencing some bliss, and I wanted to prolong it. And during those meditations, I understood that space and time, like through experience, I understood that this, especially time, is relative. It can expand and contract depending on how much focus you're having on it. So like that. So I wanted to expand this blissful feeling forever, right? And I realized that, you know, the way you can experience that is by making sure that everyone is at that blissful stage. And that, what is it that all of us rise, and when we come together we are all bits and pieces of the same damn consciousness, right? Of the same damn singularity. We are just bits and pieces of it. So when these bits and pieces come together in a certain kind of a vibration that is conscious in nature, loving in nature, it will come together. And because it is coming together, our energies are combining. And when, in this particular case, what happens is that when two and two, let's say I'm two and you are two, when two and two gets together, a six happens, not a four.
Mm. Yeah. Resonance.
Yeah. So it's an expansive, this thing. Two and two should add up to four. But when two and two in this particular case, when they are vibrating towards a blissful experience, towards evolution, when they come together, they go into a six, into an eight, into a 10, depending on how it is, or into... like that.
So your job should be to spread bliss in your
own
human
existence.
There is
no job and all. Actually, all these things, you know, it is such a... It's in my understanding again, right? It is so simple. That's why it is so complex. People, you know, it's like a dog chasing its own tail, you know, trying to rationalize what is it that they are experiencing? Why is it that they are experiencing in shifts in between, you know, sorrow and joy and happiness and sadness and, you know, bliss and the lack of bliss and, you know, anger and hatred and love and blah, 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 all this. So you're constantly trying to rationalize with your mind as to how to get some control over the chaos, right? Until the time you look at all your experiences from an individual perspective, you are in that circular loop like a dog chasing its own tail. But when you can only like find yourself when you are able to understand that it's all originating from within you, and everything is, you are a part of it and it's a part of you. There is no higher and lower or better or worse or this or that. It's just you are vibrating, and your vibration or whatever your level of consciousness is vibrating, it's energy. So that level of energy that you are sending out or what you are creating or manifesting through your will, through your desire, through your awareness, you are creating your circumstances and your experiences. Yes. So when you realize that there is no difference between you and me, ultimately, the ultimate truth, when you understand that and you start playing around with that truth, you start realizing that, fucking hell, you know, this moksha or whatever it is that you want to call it,
salvation,
that bliss will come through collaboration. It'll come through people merging to rise, to evolve. Right now, when you look at around, you know, somebody is dying in Africa, somebody is hungry in India, somebody is dying of heat, somebody is dying of cold, somebody is oppressed in his mind, somebody is, in, you know, committing murder, somebody is going and fighting for his country, somebody is doing what the fuck ever, somebody is, you know, somebody is doing business, somebody is in an entrepreneurial journey, somebody is, you know, it's all various things happening. It's all good. And it's all right. You know, for the good to exist, the evil has to be there. Otherwise, the good will have no meaning. So that's the duality of our universe that we exist in. For anything to exist, it has to be dual in nature, it has to be binary. But that Maya exists in that binary code. When you perceive something as good or bad, when you make a judgment based on your experiences, based on whatever your level of consciousness is at that point of time. So when you're able to realize this or understand this, that actually, it's just relative and both have to exist. And then you back off from that a little bit and then you look at both. And then you say that, okay, that's how you create good and that's how you create bad. Good and bad is your own perception of what is happening to you. And then you understand something called bliss. And then you understand that if you all get together, you know, I can experience bliss. Because you are what? You are ultimately God consciousness, if you want to call it that word, God consciousness. You are ultimately that at the core of you. You are something, some energy which created itself and created the fucking universe around it to experience it.
Hmm.
That's it. Now the thing is that what I realize is that I want to have fun on this journey. I want to enjoy this, whatever this, call it Maya, call it reality, call it what the hell ever it is. I want to enjoy it. Yeah, bahut dekh liya, done enough. Seen enough ups and downs and things like that. And life should not be about sweating it through, right? Life should be fucking, you know, vibrating in fucking creativity, vibrating in bliss, enjoying yourself like a, you know, spaceship flying around in the universe, whatever. So you have to be like that, to enjoy that, that's a choice. That choice comes from knowledge, understanding of that knowledge. And then from that understanding, practicing that knowledge that you have reached to reach a level where you can see everything as it is and then create what you feel like creating. Shift energy around, create energy, destroy energy. It's like that.
Yeah. So my gauge of this whole situation that you're in is that you've read a lot, you've experienced a lot from your time in the army, from your time after the army, had some spiritual growth. At the same time, the situations that you saw in life pushed you into this journey of creating Claw, of initiating Operation Blue Freedom. You saw someone who was paralyzed from chest down and you thought, okay, let me take this situation and make this slightly more blissful for the people going through this situation. And at the same time, because the army and the special forces experience forced you into a mode of efficiency, you've also brought that and kind of created a unit full of special forces personnel.
Yes, and ex-special forces.
Ex-special forces personnel, my bad.
No.
I got carried away.
Special forces will always be special forces. They are born like that and they live like that and they die like that. Yeah. It's a mindset.
Yeah.
There are people, that's what I realized when I came outside in the Civvy Street. I like those 18 and a half years or whatever I was in the army and from NDA upwards and then till the point I got my release, right? Till that point, I always thought that, you know, this only we are like this, that we can think like this or feel like this or execute like that. But then when I came out and slowly I started meeting people, especially people with disabilities, fucking was like cracked open what I was thinking. I realized that it's a fucking mindset and it's whatever has gone through, whatever experiences that you have been through, whatever, you know, people you have met, all your everything coming together and you being able to separate yourself out from it and making a choice rather than being a victim of your circumstances, you are making a choice. So when you start making that choice, and there are people all around us that I keep meeting, especially people with disabilities, you know, that's the common thing between special forces mindset and people with disabilities, or special forces and people with disabilities. People with disabilities have been, you know, pushed into a, or into a certain state of life, which is minus this, that, whatever, which other people may have and they don't have. right? So then they have to learn to deal with this very harsh world, which does not have, you know, in most places, there are no elevators or there are no this thing. And they have to get through this bloody obstacle course every waking moment of their life. So it's a bloody obstacle course going on. So all this 2-year journey that I have, I met hundreds of people with disabilities, right? And trained them and watched them. Like we decided that, okay, you know, just for that one guy to be able to make him dive, I realized that I have to make everyone fucking dive. Then that guy will be able to dive. Because it's very, very expensive. All this equipment and all that is running. Each equipment set is around 1.5 to 2 lakhs. Just one set. Right? And then you have to fill air in it, and then it has to be good air, and there's compressors and this and that and boats and whatnot, and there's training and certification and blah, 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 lots of money. So to make that guy being able to do it, to fulfill that one promise, I need to do it across the country. So all these guys, all these XSF guys, they just, like, they didn't know what, like, is running in my head, but, like, who are with me in my team, they started leaving and started calling me up and asking me what I'm doing. So I was telling, I'm doing carpentry. I was making my own bed and table and whatnot. So they just came, just forced their way into my space back, forced their way through. I told them, I don't have anything. I don't have any money. I don't have anything to give you. So don't come here. You've got wife and kids and parents and whatnot you are looking after. I have nothing to give you. Don't come to me. Just 3-4 times said, no, 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 no. But he just asked me, nee, but what are you doing? He said, I'm fucking doing carpentry, man. So he said, okay, I'll come and we'll do carpentry together. So he said, okay, man, you come. Now that guy, the first guy who came, is one of the top mountaineers. He's a walking 3-4 world records, man. There's a guy called Meen Bahadur Thapa. He's on my team. He's the first guy who came. He's an extreme mountaineer, holds records. He's broken records, shattered records in altitude warfare school, which is one of the best schools in the world for mountaineering. And extreme, you know, so that guy, that level, he did not go. He could have picked up anything. He could have gone, you know, broken world records without any support and all. He could have done a lot of things. But he came to do carpentry with me. So then I said, okay, let's harness. So I said, I'll take on diving. You take on mountaineering. So that's where we started off. And like that, then, you know, people started collecting, you know, this Marcos who came in, you know, other SF guys came and tuck, 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 tuck. We started coming and we were all looking for when they realize what's going on, like where I'm headed, like they said, you know, now that is something beyond what they were doing. So they vibrated. They wanted to, you know, do it. And there was love and brotherhood already. So we decided we will travel across India and we will train all people with disabilities that we meet. We'll train them in scuba diving. And I had no money in my pocket, right? I had no pension. My whatever gratuity I was supposed to get from the army for whatever service I had done, that had not arrived. It had taken, you know, took 1.5-2 years for that money to come. By the time I had already spent other people's, like my family and also, you know, supported. And then just randomly the universe started throwing things. First thing you need is equipment. Like I told you, lakhs and lakhs, 50, 60 lakhs, you know, like that kind of equipment. So there was this guy about 1.5 months back. He had called me, a guy called Purple Octopus, like his company called Purple Octopus from Bombay. He had called me. They had started out new and he said, "Key sir, you know, just we heard about your this thing and, you know, we would like to collaborate with you, something we can do." I asked him, "What?" So I had no clue of business or anything. I was living in a different universe only, different dimension. Special Forces is a different dimension. So I was there and then, like, I did not know when I came outside. And then, so I said, "How do you want to collaborate?" She said, "I don't know." She said, "I also don't know. Maybe when we know, we'll talk again." Cut. So then 1.5 months later, we were together and we first thing we needed was equipment. So I called him up. I said, "You know, me and my team, and this is who we are, and this is what we are going to do. We are going to travel from my home in Chandigarh. From there, I'm going to go down till the tip of this country till the end. And whoever people with disabilities I will meet, I will train them, expose them to scuba diving," like that. So he says, "Oh, fucking sounds good. What do you need from me?" I said, "I need some equipment. You know, let's take some equipment on loan or something and give it back to you in the state it is in." So he said, "Yes, why not? Absolutely sure." And he sent about, like, what, 10, 15, 20 lakhs, about 15, 20 lakhs worth of equipment. He just sent it to me. No bills, no receipts, no money, nothing. No accounting. He just sent it. Like, he did all the calculation that, okay, these many sets, this, that, 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 that. Right? He just sent me that. And that's a new company starting out.
Mm.
Right? So we got all that equipment. I said, okay, now we have the equipment. Now, where are the people with disabilities? So I went to the army and all, and I spoke and this, that, and there was some, you know, it's a new concept at that time, and people didn't really, you know, understand what I'm doing and all that. So then I had a lot of roadblocks. Then I went to Chandigarh Spinal Rehab Center. I met somebody somewhere, and they said that my wife is working in Chandigarh Spinal Rehab Center. I said, fantastic. Right from there, I went to the Chandigarh Spinal Rehab Center, met that lady. And like an hour, I was standing and talking to these, 24 people with spinal cord injuries in various states of paralysis. And they were going through their rehab over there. Old, previously paralyzed guys, new guys who had got paralyzed and things like that. And before I started speaking to them, I was watching them play basketball. And I have not seen such a rough, bad fucking basketball game. They were like boom, boom, boom on their wheelchairs. Yeah. Like aggressive game. And I was calling my guys, come, see these guys. See, I made a video also of that. And, to show to my son and to show to my family, you see this. So then they came in and I was talking to them. There were guys with these big holes in their body. Because when you get paralyzed, you can't move around. So you are on your bed or you're in a chair and you can't feel, there's no sensation. So there's constant, rubbing happening and your skin start getting holes and all. And those get septic and things like that. It can kill. Many people die because of those holes. So they had holes in their back. They had holes in there. There was this guy who was lying on, like I was talking and standing and some guys were sitting, some guys were lying flat. And there was this guy who was just opposite me, was lying on his stomach. And like he had I would push my fist into his bum, he had this big a hole on his bottom. And he was like this and listening to me. And I was talking, I'm so and so. And these are my team. And anybody's interested in scuba diving, this is what scuba diving. Anybody interested? All 24 who had hands that they could raise, they raised their bloody hands, who had mouth to speak, they fucking spoke. And they said, I want. So, how much will it cost? I said, fucking free of cost. Don't worry. So, the plan was this. I will teach able-bodied people because able-bodied people, special forces, all this Uri movie had come out. So, everybody wanted to interact with special forces and all. I said, okay, interact, pay money. Come scuba dive. We'll teach you scuba diving and earn money from you and make it free for these guys. So, that was the business plan. So, these guys... they started like, I said, yeah, 24, all 24 of you, I cannot teach together. Like, I'll have to make you into batches and all. So maybe four guys I can introduce every day, to scuba diving. 4 to 5 guys, maybe. So they started, a very friendly argument started. No, I raised my hand first. No, I spoke first. I will go first. That kind of shit. I said, how many of you knew swimming and all? Hardly anybody knew swimming and all. So I was just thinking in my mind, fuck man, these guys, they don't even know how to swim. There's this guy, neck down paralyzed guy who's saying, wow, me, neck down paralyzed, man. He's running the whole Chandigarh Spinal Rehab Center, social media and other work that he was doing with his mouth. He had just like this microphone on his electric wheelchair. His hands used to be permanently like this on a pillow and neck down, gone. So he used to have a pen in his mouth and he'd go tapping on his phone like that.
Wow.
Yeah. So he was, I spoke first and all of that. Neck down paralyzed guy, doesn't know swimming, never been in a swimming pool, nothing like that, but choosing to scuba dive. That's freedom, brother. That is the special forces spirit. That is the special forces mindset. And that is what gets things done. And that is how you can get into a position to control the chaos and make what you want to make and experience life the way you want to experience. That's how it started.
And what's the end vision for it?
So I'll tell you. So it was a learning journey for me. It was a shift, yes. The massive shift which was there was from destruction to creation. Special forces are to destroy stuff, right? So from that sudden switch towards creation and love, actually, human love, right? To share the you joyous, you know, the like I was talking about these paradoxical laws or quantum laws or whatever you want to call it, the universe. When you share something, it grows. Yeah. So if you're feeling love and you share love, it'll fucking grow. Because everybody has love inside them and fucking collides, and 2 + 2 collides and becomes a 6 or a 10, or depending on how much love is there. It will exponentially blow up more like that. So during this journey from that Chandigarh Spinal Rehab Institute, then to Delhi, and then to Bombay, and then to Lakshadweep, you know, like that. We dived, and we finally dived in the open sea in Lakshadweep. It was like a spaceship flying off, like a rocket flying off. You know, a rocket has to have so much of energy so that it can get into escape velocity as quickly as possible and get off the fucking gravitational pull of the Earth, right? So it was like that. We were like that. We were bashing our way through, you know, our experiences and creating them, ruthlessly creating them.
What started off as a struggle has now turned into the universe helping you.
Into audacity.
into
a belief. A belief.
Yeah. And, you know, you talk to the people at Claw. You talk to everyone who's in any way a part of Operation Blue Freedom. Everyone's in that same mission-oriented mindset. Mm. And I think that that's the big gift of you guys to the world outside of the army, sir. Like, you know, you're spreading that same special forces mindset. We come back to that. It's been a theme in these podcasts. So if my last question to you, honestly, sir, is like, when you're looking at all this from the outside, nowadays, daily, when you're going to sleep, and you've seen whatever you've seen, let's come to that third version of you, which is still evolving.
Yeah.
What's that guy thinking?
So what happened is, when I got onto this journey of, you know, sharing scuba diving or whatever it was, and da da da, and I started interacting with people with disabilities and able-bodied people also, and there were people who started joining up, just coming with whatever they had got to offer, like you yourself, you know, like it's a platform, massive amount of following and all that, and people will come to know, and spread the word, right, that this is happening. It's energy coming, right, by itself, it's coming. So you have to ride the horse, no? So what? While watching all of this, of course, you are in the Maya and you're experiencing whatever is going on, and you're figuring out, you're seeing real life things happening and seeing the magic constantly. So beyond the Maya, there is magic.
Mm.
And that magic is real, right? So when you step into that and then you start, you see it happening all the bloody time, and then it becomes like a, you know, it is like that. So when you're watching, you're evolving. And then this constant, that background search in your brain that is searching for full expression of itself, the full expression of the soul, that freedom state of being where everything you are creating, you know, and like that. So it's a journey, right? So in that process, you know, when you're looking back, that's when I realized, by the time I was at Lakshadweep, or I had reached Lakshadweep, that whole process crystallized into one line, that true freedom, it's a collective experience. It's not an individual experience. It's a collective experience. So true freedom is a collective experience. Either all of us have it, either all of us are free, or none of us really are. None of us are really are free. Whoever you may be. Whoever. Right? Yes, so there are two ways to getting to that freedom. To that state of being. One is, you know, what is this? Is like you do yoga and meditation. And then you go into the mountains and you'll sit in some cave. And then you will meditate and eat grass and whatever. And purify. All your thoughts, detachments, or attachments, everything gone. What is left is you, right? That is, I suppose, what it means to be that level of a yogi. So they reach there and then they start playing around with Maya, you know, they start playing around shifting energies and all that. So they can transcend space and time, appear, disappear, all those things. It's all real. So that is one way of reaching that level of freedom where you can manifest what the fuck ever you want, right? You can create things, destroy things, both are same only, right? So that is one way to that moksha or freedom or whatever it is. The other way is like this, through life, not leaving life, but actually getting into the bloody, you know, intestines of life and opening it up from there, and opening it up like that. and going out like that.
Not just for yourself, but for everyone around you.
Yes, that is what it is. No, for example, let's say you and me are talking, right? And if you and me are in different states of being, let's say you're in a destructive mode, or let's say I'm in a very egoistic mode or something like that, and I feel differentiation like that, your thoughts and my thoughts will be at different levels, right? They will not be at the same level. I'm not saying higher or lower, just different. That's all. There is no high, low. It's just different. So we will not be able to collide and collaborate. And the two and two will become a three instead of a six or an eight. Yes. So it's when you go through life, instead of separating yourself individually out of the maya or whatever it is you want to call it, you know, this reality that we exist in, instead of detaching from your loves and all your responsibilities and family and this and that and work and all that, you detach, learn yogic skills to pull in energy from the air and, you know, kya bolte hain, so many things, you know.
Manifest.
Yeah. So when you leave all, you have left the space where you can manifest, brother. You manifest here in this life, here. Freedom is not something that is going to happen tomorrow. It has to happen right now. So, and from there you go higher and higher and higher and more power of creation, right? So instead of going that way of detachment, I don't judge it. I think that, like, whatever little bit of knowledge I've got, I think, you know, yeah, it's a way. But at the end of it, it's just you, right? And here there's all these things that are part of you only that you're experiencing yourself. You are experiencing me, I'm experiencing you, brother, right? And it's good fun, isn't it? Yes. Why would I not experience this? Why would I not? Mm. Why would I choose to detach myself from this? So the detachment has to happen inside, not in your outside world. So when you detach, you can feel more love.
Yes.
Right? So it's like that. So in this journey, you know, from that first guy I met and then pursuing that emotion, that feeling of wanting to share, wanting to make someone's life a little better. My life sorted. So by the time I left the special forces, I didn't care if I was living or dead. I didn't care. I didn't care if I was rich or poor. I didn't care. Right? I didn't care. It was, for me, it was nothing actually left to experience. From there, my experiences, real experiences or different experiences of state of being started. When I had no desire actually left for anything else, except that one guy that I wanted to go scuba diving with. So in this entire journey, by the time I reached Lakshadweep, not only did I see that you could bend and shift and break Maya, not only can you do that, you can replace it with a lot of other things that you want to experience. I want to fucking experience love all around me, right? So I want to experience fucking happiness all around me. That's what I want to experience. I don't want to waste my time with sorrow and sadness and all this. I've experienced a lot, man,
yeah.
Right? Given it and taken it, both. So from that choice, that place where I didn't actually care about the future is when the future opened up, you know, the state of being opened up in the now. And that's when that one line came up. When I understood that for me to experience love around me, to experience creativity around me, to experience body security or whatever it is that we want to experience, you have to let it go for it to come to you. That's the paradoxical law of the fucking universe, you know. And so this is what I went through, and I just crunched it into one line that you know, like this, like it just came to my mind. True freedom, just freedom. It's a collective experience. Either we are all free or we are not. That's what I understood. And from that's what one of those lines, you know, there's another, this thing that people go through. It's a little baser line, Maya, of karam karo, fal ki ichha mat karo, and the things like that. Just fucking realize, you know, freedom is not something that is going to happen tomorrow. It has to happen right now, brother. You reach freedom by being in a state of freedom.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's like a dog chasing its tail. It's like that musk deer, you know, looking that entire forest, looking for that smell. It's attracting. Where is it coming from? It's fucking coming from inside it.
Mm.
It spends its entire life looking for it outside.
Yep.
So it's like that. So when you just give up on when you've gone through all of that, like I said, no, a lot of death, constantly three times standing there, looking at death, knowing there is nothing beyond this, nothing, there is no life ahead of it, nothing is there, blank space. So you do it here, no?
Mm.
I don't remember my past lives. I don't know what is, like, I didn't know what is beyond. But when I saw it standing there, when I gave up, I knew my hands were up. I said, fuck, man, it's all over. But it's, I've taken four of you out and I'm going. 4:1, good ratio, good to go. yeah, absolutely. I was sitting there, standing there against a rock face, you know, like Spider-Man. I was holding on to this thing. I had a huge motherfucking rucksack on my back. My weapon was on my back and I was standing like this. And I turned back and I saw that guy fucking looking at me, you know. From that point, all those whatever happened, and I was just, there's only just pure thought that, okay, speed of bullet is faster than speed of sound. So therefore, you know, I'm going to feel a jerk on my body. They don't fire a single bullet. They fire a fucking full, they'll empty a 30 round burst into you, right? So I was thinking, fucking speed of bullet is faster than speed of sound. So I'm going to feel the jerk before the neural network transfers that energy impact on my body. I would be gone. So I'll not know the point of death. I will not feel the point of death. But the point of death had happened before that already. So just waiting to die. And I'm just seeing there's nothing beyond. Just waiting to die. There is nothing beyond. And at that point, there is no fear. People should stop fearing death and all. There is nothing to fear. When you reach that point, there is nothing. No emotion, nothing. You will just see your entire life flash by in no time. There is no time. So, you will experience that. And if you are still alive, then you can start doing what we are doing, kind of a thing, you know. Otherwise, you know, there are other ways also. People, like, maybe I'm dumb, you know, it takes intense experience for me to realize something. Some people just realize it without experiencing. Maybe they've experienced in past life. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, there is a right now and a right here, and this is the only real thing in this whole world, the moment. So freedom has to be in the moment and practiced in the moment. And yes, like that, you will go through moments, and then at some point, you will become like a master samurai sword freedom fucking guy who's creating his freedom all the time. So freedom is not a destination. It's a journey. Yes. You have to start with it to get there.
So Major Jacob, I mean, while this was heavy and, you know, again, there's been lots of learnings, I want you to leave the audiences with an explanation of what Operation Blue Freedom is.
So Operation Blue Freedom is what its name is. Operation Blue Freedom. So operation is operation. It marks the special forces mindset, the operational mindset that we go. It's a fucking operation what we are doing. We are going to travel across the world and make these things accessible to everyone. Ability, disability, able-bodied, disabled, I don't fucking care. Ability and disability is in your fucking mind, brother. You will, like I told you, there is this guy who has got nothing, neck down, paralyzed, right? He's fucking typing out, but his entire social media is handling. He goes on, he, with his chin, he moves that joystick and like this, like this, like this. He goes shopping in the mall, man. He crosses main roads. He sits in Delhi Metro, goes here, there. He's living his life. He's learning how to play the piano with his mouth like that. Yeah. So he's free, yeah. And there are so many able-bodied people, you know, so fully able-bodied, but he may have this big muscle also, right? But, you know, living depressed and feeling depleted. So it's just a perception of understanding. So operation is the special forces mindset, the way we are approaching this mission. It's a mission for us, right? We will get it done, brother. We never fail. Never, ever fail. Right, that's when we take on only that we already know we have succeeded. That is what we go out to hit. If we feel not going to succeed, we plan to succeed, but we never let it go. So that's operation. Blue is the earth. So we are going, you know, Operation Blue Freedom. So what I realized is through the experience of the outdoors, through the experience of nature, through the experience of meeting people on this journey, like that, we will share what we feel. And truth, you know, truth just needs to be spoken, and it'll vibrate inside you. It'll vibrate inside him, you know, so it'll expand, it'll open up. All the illusions that are there will fall away when you talk about truth, right? So Operation Blue Freedom has two parts of it. Okay. Freedom starts from a perception of freedom itself, what it means to be free, right? So there's a lot of confusion around it. And, you know, some people think it's physical freedom. Some people think become a yogi and become spiritual free, whatever it means to everyone else. But for it means, I love this earth. I love the people on this earth. I love the experiences that are to be had on this earth. It's endlessly, endlessly blissful. You just have to be able to perceive it like that. So if everybody starts perceiving it like that, we'll be all having a fucking ball instead of fucking throwing bombs at each other. You know, there's so many people who waste food and there's so many people who are dying of hunger. There is an inequality, right? So like that, whatever. So Operation Blue Freedom had to operate at a... So that's maybe where the special forces mindset, all my experiences crunched down into that, where by the time I reached Bombay and I finished with Bombay and I took a break before Lakshadweep and I went to Trivandrum to my mom's place. And I was like, I reached my mom's house and I like to sleep on my mom's carpet, no? It's cooler there. So, and I went and bought a whole case of beer and I parked it and my mind was shut off. Like, I was constantly fed up. Oh, asking, you know, constantly asking people for something. Give me scuba gear, give me compressor, give me vehicle, give me pool, give me this, give me that. I'm a person who doesn't like to ask anything from anyone, right? But to do something like this, you know, I didn't have the money. If I had the money, I'd buy it, no? Why would I ask anybody for anything, right? And special forces especially, you know, it's you depend on yourself only and the people that you love and that's it. So now having to depend on total strangers and trying to explain some story to them that, you know, what, you know, good thing we are doing and checking to see whether somebody resonates, doesn't resonate, blah, 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 all that bullshit, I was fed up. I was at my wit's end, you know? And I went home and I bought this bloody case of beer and I put it there and I started drinking. And I drank and slept and drank and slept and drank and slept for 3 days. On the fourth day, I woke up in the morning and it was just there in my head. 3 world records in land, sea and air. All the 3 elements by a team of people with disabilities. Trained by former special forces soldiers from across the globe. People with disabilities from across race, culture, class, nationality, religion, economic status or ability. From across this entire fucking spectrum of Maya that people call limitations. All these limitations collected over here in one spot. Special forces fucking soldiers coming in from across the globe, across race, culture, class, nationality, coming in. Training these people in all the 3 elements, scuba diving in water, skydiving in the air, and mountaineering on land to break 3 world records and shatter this fucking perception of inability which is there in our society, in our experience, in our global society, right? It's not something that only Indians are suffering from or Americans are not suffering from or whatever. It's there everywhere. No nation can be free when chaos is going on in some other nation. It will always affect. You throw a fucking nuclear bomb on somebody, the fucking nuclear bloody cloud will come and bloody poison your fucking own population. Mm. It's like that. So true freedom is a collective experience. Don't throw fucking nuclear bombs. Fucking help each other out, brother. Yeah. So it's like that. All these boundaries, you know, this India, China, Japan, Pakistan, Yevo, and all these. Who has created these boundaries? Who has created these boundaries? Has God created these boundaries? No. Man has, people like you and me have created these boundaries. And that is what is, you know, when boundaries come, separation comes. Hmm. And separation filters down into so many manifestations of separations. And you are in that Maya of separation. You think you are separate from everybody else, better, and then you start grading yourself. Are you better than the other person or lesser than the other person? And there you're screwed, brother. You're in that fucking Maya, chucky piecing and piecing constantly. Hmm. Trying to get out of it, trying to escape from it, but not knowing how to get out of it because you're fucking in your mind, it's coded into you. You're born into a society which is divided, right? Yeah. So that's a perception. So the truth, now you can take fucking 100 years, 1,000 years to show the truth so that you can experience the fucking truth, right? If you and me are talking, you are unhappy, you'll make me also unhappy. No, in some way, because like I'm not realized or something, I'm just who I am. So I know that for me to have an interaction with you where I can learn and happily so and all that, you know, I have to make sure you're also happy, you know, like that. So we can talk at that level. Our insecurities are left away and we can talk about what the truth is all about, right? And have a meaningful conversation and take it from where. So in this, you know, I realized that I have to fucking shatter this perception. And that's where the triple world records came in. And I realized that, you know, people get drawn by glitter and glamour and this and that and world records and whatnot. People get drawn in and they want to put their boards there and want to, you know, whatever there. And I wanted to stop asking people for things. So I, like, this came to me. This just came to me. 3 world records, Lancia and Air, by a team of people with disabilities from across the fucking globe, from across all forms of separation. Hence, the gods of fucking destruction, you know, special forces from across the globe fucking collecting together and coming for this. Right? We are the first fucking special forces team in the whole world. In the whole world. All, if you go into, you know, what special forces are doing after retiring, this is the first fucking team in the whole world of special forces soldiers which has gone towards humanity and creation. Most of them are back into the game. Guns for hire. Feel like fucking pressing the trigger and fucking knocking somebody off and making some fucking money out of it. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. So like that. This is the first team in the world which is doing that. Right? Working for humanity, evolution, creation. And it's happening, brother. So if you open it up, right? For people with disabilities, right? People with disabilities. If you open it up for people with disabilities, who are people with disabilities? People with disabilities are the so-called, the perceived weakest section of society. And that's something I learned in the special forces. There's a squad of 6. Everybody's not fucking John Rambo there, right? Somebody is a little less, somebody's a little more. We balance each other out, right? Yeah. But none of us are afraid. Mm. We may feel fear. We can take it. We fucking crunch fear. Right? So it's like that. We operate at higher levels because of the fear we feel and we compensate. We compensate with thinking and thought and cracking that fear. So this so-called perceived weakest section of society, if these people can go and crack, you know, this human spirit, which is perceived as the lowest, can go and, or the weakest, can go and crack all the 3 elements by skydiving, scuba diving, and mountaineering. That's a fucking in-your-face lesson for the rest of the world to see. That if they can do it, fucking what the hell are we talking about?
Yeah.
So perception change in the mind.
Mm.
And there are so many other things that I realized. That's a fucking spirit. Now you tap that spirit, you harness that spirit, right? That people with disabilities, like I have experienced. Who are people with disabilities? If there are 1.8 billion, I believe, people with disabilities in this world, out of those 1.8 billion, 80% of those people have got paralyzed during life. They got paralyzed during life. They're not born with disability.
Hmm.
Only 20% of people in this world are born with disability. 80% of those 1.8 billion people are people who have got disabled during life. Car accidents, fucking some brain damage, something, you know, whatever, train accident, blah, 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 blah. So what I realize is fucking this shit can happen to anyone here.
Hmm.
This shit can happen to anyone at any point of time in your life. So actually all of humanity is at stake here, right? So whatever. So it's a perception change. So you can actually shift around energy and create what you want to create once you realize what you are. And that realization is a perception of what you are. Yes. A true perception of what you are. You get into the fucking driving seat of your life. Like Stephen Hawking, for example.
Hmm.
Fucking wrote so many books, man. On our universe, you know, not even able to speak properly, right? Yeah. So there is no limit to freedom if the guy reaches the right perception. So I realized ki, okay, we will create these institutions where people can come and learn and heal and rehabilitate and reskill to go back into the world.
And go get a real job also.
Yeah. Get a real job, get a real life. And I think in like there are 0.001% of people with disabilities who have a job.
Hmm.
It's a lot of this thing, the environment, it's like that. A lot of people have insecurities that maybe if I take a person with disability to work, you know, I don't know, how will he come to office? How will he work? How will he do this? How will he do that? All the insecurities, your own insecurities you're projecting on your fucking environment.
Hmm.
What they don't realize is that if you tap into this, when a person has been stripped off and he's still alive, so about 70% of people who undergo disability during their life when they get into accidents, 70% of them are suicidal. They want to commit suicide because they can't adjust to this sudden shift in reality. Sudden shift in reality. Till now you were fucking just playing football and you had a fucking bad hard game of football and you were going back home on your bike and boom, spine broke, paralyzed. Like that. Your reality has changed. So that kind of immense breaking of reality is like worse than special forces probation.
Yeah.
So now to adjust to that, then is when your probation starts, lifelong probation of having to deal with this now, not being able to help yourself, not being able to fucking, you know, go to the pot on your own, man. Not being able to change your own clothes on yourself. You know, there's so many things. So those people who go through this, 70% of them are suicidal in nature. When suicidal thoughts come, they want to end it. They don't want to accept this reality. The only way you can get away from this reality is by ending yourself, right? Maybe next life, I will reborn new body. Something like that. They're so willing to experience that also. And entire in this process, the last thing that I realized where the vision kind of closed in, I said, okay, no more thinking, no more vision. This is where it stops, was the research part. So I realized somewhere that if, you know, just thinking about it, experiencing, learning, soaking it all in. And I realized that if we research into disability, we will find the key to human ability. For example, if there's a person who's neck down, paralyzed, and we are trying all sorts of, you know, alternative healings and scuba diving and this and that, and slowly we've had the kind of crazy things that I've seen happening in a pool. There's a lady who's like in Chandigarh the first time. That's what like shook us. She had her leg was paralyzed, and she used to somehow get around 40, 45 years old, whatever she may have been. And she came on the first day for scuba diving, and that was it. She was only getting one chance. But every day she would come there, sit on the wheelchair and sit for 5-6 hours a day, watching us. And I used to keep looking at every day in the last, before we used to close up, I used to go and ask her, do you want to come again? She said, yes. She says, okay, come. On the fourth day, her leg started fucking shaking in water. First time she saw fucking movement in her leg. It was just crazy to watch. She started crying and weeping and whatnot happened. Burst of happiness happening inside her, of the possibility of what she's experiencing. Like this guy I told you, orthopedic surgeon and all that. When he came here, his hands were like this, his chest down paralyzed, right? He got paralyzed 10 years back. He had a car crash, he's driving home, car crash, didn't get injured, but the whiplash, the energy, just broke his spine, got paralyzed. So the cops came and he like guided the cops. Okay, hold on. He was a surgeon. He was an orthopedic surgeon. He knew what has happened to him. So he told them, lift me like this, take me like this, blah, 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 whatever. Then he went through a medical procedure. Then he went through rehabilitation and he went through another 3 years of physiotherapy. Nothing. Gave up. 7 years he was at home, you know, and learned some alternative way of, you know, stock market, something. Then he heard about us. He heard about Operation Blue Freedom. He heard about CLAW. He drove from Bombay with his mother. His mother's also like, you know, like a surgeon and all. They came here with his assistants and whatnot. And he came here and he could hardly move his own wheelchair. By the fourth day, he was circling around quiet. By the seventh day, he was taking 4 circles of this entire training area. 4 circles every morning on his own. He started lifting himself out of the chair. He fucking started swimming on the fourth day inside the pool. Started swimming. You should have seen him diving. Wow. Right? His hands started, strength started coming back and all that. Yeah. So all this, so we are recording all of that data, change in blood pressure, change in how much, you know, energy, this, how much strength, change in all the blood functions, everything we are recording. The change in emotional state, change in perception of life, change in the physical ability, all of that we are recording. So it's research going on. We're researching that, okay, like we took him to this bareback horse riding place, which is there in Oroville. We took him there. From never having ever been so up close to a horse, in half an hour, he was sitting on the damn horse. Yeah. So it's magic happening, brother. And this magic is for everyone. So all these scientists, for example, if you take... There are prosthetics, right? Prosthetics that are advanced, prosthetics that are being developed and all that, you know, and there are exoskeletons and all that being developed right now and all that. But they are all operating in isolation. Somebody has got money, is able to research, but does not have the top level talent, that top level mindset, trained talent to be able to hire and get that together. Somebody is doing research in somewhere in some far corner of, you know, America, and here, that data will take fucking 20 years to reach a man who's here. He'll be dead by then, right? So it has to be aggregated. The disability itself, human disability, which we all suffer from, it has to be aggregated, centralized, organized, and crunched into an efficient process, which is processing this disability and bringing out fucking new data, new research, new technology, which will just enhance the human ability, right? We are, as a species, going to transcend our bodies.
Yes, so.
Yeah. So that's where we are headed. So this is, the vision is that this matrix that we have collected on the ground, this is the first facility that we have developed. Like, not the structure itself, we have kind of piggybacked with someone else, but the processes are on.
Mm. From what I gauge, you're actually kind of working towards that next stage of evolution, which begins from love, which begins from your heart, which begins from empathy.
The will to live.
Yes, sir. And, you know, it's not just that you're doing. Let me just tell you. I mean, again, I feel like when you're living a certain life, you don't realize everything else that you're giving to the world. While you're in that sense of duty, while you're in that sense of doing.
No sense of duty, brother. I'm wanting to live my life. This is how I want to live my life. Yes, this is my life, no? This is how I want to live it. I'm not going around putting bullet into somebody or troubling somebody or something. I'm just doing my own shit. And there's my team. They're also just doing what we're doing. We're not interested in what other people are doing or this or that. There's knowledge to be gained. We research, this thing. But we're on our own trip, man.
Yeah.
And we're just doing this. And the way people are coming together to help us is just like amazing, yeah?
Yeah.
And there's a vision, you know, so all special forces soldiers across every country has got people with disabilities, and every country has got special forces soldiers who retire. They retire at 30, 35 years of age, yeah. They are like the gods of combat coming out, right? Shift this fucking energy. It's just energy, very, very high tempo of fucking energy. Just capture that energy and channelize towards fucking human evolution. So it's like the paradox, you know, that our evolution and our creation will come out of from destruction. Yeah. The key to ability, human ability, will come by researching and diving deep into disability. So it's those paradoxes.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Of course, I'll be linking all of Claw's handles down below. Operation Blue Freedom, all the details can be found on the website. Vivek sir, I think we have about 100 podcasts yet to go. There's gonna be a lot more stuff. A lot of stuff happens behind the scenes. I don't know, so how was the experience of this whole podcast for you?
Nice. So the thing is, you know, like, that's why I chose it. Okay, like when this thing came and I looked at this, it's like I wanted to know who you are. At what level will we talk? Right? So then I saw that ayahuasca thing. And not just that you've explored ayahuasca, that you had the fucking balls and the fucking intellect to just come out and speak your heart out. So you're speaking the truth. Now that's what people need to hear, because only the truth, the spear of fucking truth, can pierce this fucking maya of lies.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's where we connected, and it's like that. So you're vibrating there and you're conscious there and you're exploring there, just like I'm exploring. And that's why we can talk and evolve.
In any way that I can be a part of your journey, sir, like, I'm always there.
You already are. Nobody escapes like a black hole. Once you're in, you can't get out.
But from the bottom of my heart, sir, thank you. You don't know what you've given to me just through the course of this conversation. Forget the content. Forget the podcast.
Ditto.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so, sir. But ditto. All working towards that same consciousness. Thank you, Major Jacob. This was one of the most highly requested podcasts from our YouTube world, from our Spotify world. And I'm glad that we made it a reality, sir. Lots more to do. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, bro.